So a llama who criticizes, and a llama who nags, a llama who pushes you, a llama who's mean, who is always hot-tempered to you, it means that llama is extremely compassionate. The greatest llamas in Tibet, like Ajahn Sarangji, have the hottest mouths they ever even beat you, because they have that much compassion, because peaceful methods are finished. So if you want to be in a fake spiritualism, you just show up and chant a few cheap mantras and never learn about Dharma, never learn about your mind, never learn about who you are. Never learn. Then you meet a Lama who never criticizes you. Then Lamas who come once a year, sit on big thrones, big names, and do big ceremonies, do the medicine Buddha puja, the Avalokiteshvara puja, the wealth puja, the purifying puja, the Bhagavad puja. They rent a big hall and you meet them for 10 days, and then you all go there. You forget your Lama because your Lama's here every day. We can see him later. See you later, monster. And you go meet another Lama who never criticizes you, never says anything to you, and sits on a big throne and there's a big fanfare. Of course it looks very nice. But if you meet that Lama once a year or once every 2 years, that Lama can't examine you or tell you what's wrong, and you can't even get close to that Lama. And you can feel that's your guru, you're silly. Why are you silly? Because a real guru will challenge your mind. A real guru's disciple relationship, not a real guru. A real guru disciple relationship is a Lama that will challenge your mind. Not a guru that lives 5,000 miles away, that shows up once every 2 years or 3 years and on a big throne, that never tells you what's wrong, never explains to you what you should do. The guru who's next to you and lives with you is your good karma, that criticizes you, that tells you off, that explains things to you and nurtures you and gives you an example. That's your real guru, whether they sit on a high throne or not. People like to run for big names. His Holiness this, His Eminence this, this incarnation, that incarnation. They're on the big throne, they have a big ceremony, and they have a big thing, and they go there, and you go meet them, and you deceive others. You grab people to go meet them, and you deceive them, who have gurus already. Why is that? Because you meet them once a year, once every 2 years, for 1-2 hours a day. You don't talk to them. They don't examine you. They don't know you. You don't know them. You don't build up a relationship. And you want to go there just to see them for name or fame? You're ridiculous. That's like giving up your own parents and camping in with your friend's parents, and their friend's parents never dare to scold you because they don't want to offend your parents. And then, of course, your friend's parents are very nice to you, whatever you do, because you're not their daughter, you're not their son. So they gotta be nice to you because you're a guest. So if you go to your friend's parents are very nice and very blah 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 to you, very soft and very gentle. Oh, I like them so much, my parents are monsters. That's like running to a big guru that you meet once in a blue moon, that doesn't know you, that doesn't know anything about you, and they say, oh, it's my guru. That guru is so kind. That guru never criticizes me. He is so wonderful. Of course he's wonderful, he never sees you. He never tells you the truth because he doesn't have a chance to tell you the truth. Of course he's holy. Then it's very easy to make big magazines about those gurus. It's very easy to put publications and make statues and make big centers for them. It's very easy to run around the world. I can run around the world and create a center here, create a center there, create a center there, create a center there, and have 500 centers and check in on the centers once every 2 years and give a wonderful Dharma talk, be nice to everybody, smile and flash my rinchy teeth and do some initiation, disappear. They all think I'm holy. Of course, that's the secret. If you want to start 500 centers, I told you the secret. Never show up. Yes. Yes. Never show up. Never go there often. Then you'll have hundreds of centers around the world. Hundreds. Why? They meet you once, you put on your best show, they put on the best show, and everybody's on their best show. And of course, every trip you make, you go to China, you go to Shanghai, you go to Hong Kong, you go to Beijing, you go to America, you go to England, you go to Australia, you go to Melbourne, you meet the best people, and they say, oh, one room, she's come, one room. All the rich people come, every time you tell the rich people, oh, you know what? You are my student in the previous life. And you start a center, and you're like, oh, thank you, Rinpoche. And then you disappear, they start a center, they open up everything, and the people manage it, the money is there, and you don't show up. Of course, those people who are very rich will think you're very wonderful and high and tap. Even if you are, they'll think that. Why? Because you never challenge them. Because once you challenge them, then they think, ah, you're not a very nice Rinpoche. How dare you say that to me? I sponsored this. I helped you with this. I did that for you. When you live with your Rinpoche, when you're in the same city with your Rinpoche, when you meet your Rinpoche all the time and you stick with him, then you are a real Dharma student. Why? It's very easy to be a big Lama today. What's the secret? Don't meet anybody or meet them very far in between. You'll be a big Lama, fast. And then you can have that center write a book about you, that center write a book, this center write a book, that. And if you show up once in a while, the newspapers will come, they'll come and interview you. Why? Because you're not here every day. It's very simple to be a big Lama and open up big centers. Very simple. I can do it. Don't think Tenrin Chi cannot just because I'm the bottom of the barrel. I can do it. In 1 year, I promise you, I can open up 5 to 10 centers if I want to outside of Malaysia. If I want to, 5 to 10, I can open, and I'll get the committees in. Why? I just go there and be nice and smile and flash my beautiful Tibetan teeth and tell everybody and throw a few divinations and maybe even fake one or two clairvoyance sessions. I'll learn from JP. And then I just talk to them and be nice to them, just like here. Imagine if I came here and I stayed here for a week and we meet every day, and then I disappear. Wouldn't you guys have a wonderful impression of me? No evil SMSs. You don't have to stay up late. You can do whatever you want. All the rich people can sit on big couches and then I can move to them. You'll love me. And we'll have a wonderful, beautiful relationship. Because we meet once a year. You're going to be on the best behavior. And you're never going to be late. And you'll always make the time to be here. Why? Because Rinpoche is going to be here only once a year. So we better make our schedules available. That's how other centers do it. That's how lamas become big. That's how they have hundreds of centers. So if you're going to be fooled by that, what does that mean? You're a chicken. A turkey. Think. So if a big lama comes in a big throne, you don't run here, you don't run there, run there. That's saying that you don't have a relationship with them before already. That's different. And you stick with your lama, and whatever your lama puts you through, good and bad, and you stick with it, then you're a real Dhamma practitioner. You think about it. So these people say, hey, my guru, His Holiness, the 56,000th incarnation of Manjushri is coming. And he sits on a really big throne, not like your tired Rinpoche, on a sofa. And he's got 4 million centers in the universe. And he's got 25 million books out. And his students are Dantri this, Dantri that, Her Royal Highness, Her Royal this, Her Royal that, Mr. Mao, all are their students. And they throw big names at you, and they have big functions. And they go, oh, maybe I'll go there. And then without your center knowing, your committee knowing, you sneak there. Then in the audience, people snap a picture, show your llama, aha! And you're like, uh-oh. How will they look at me when I go back to the center? Then we just give you a shirt that says, the traitor is back. The traitor is back. Why is that a traitor? You're a traitor to yourself. Why? Because that's how big lamas make it. You think about it. You think about it. The 14th Dalai Lama said that in a teaching in Noble Lingpa in 1956. I read his teachings. 1956 in the Noble Lingpa, His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, who was very young, that's a gave a teaching. It's very easy to have faith and take refuge and practice the Dharma in inverted commas, he said, when you're learning from a very high throne and you see them once in a while. Because you do whatever you want. You see them once a week. There's what? How many weeks in a year? 52 weeks. For 1 week, you see them in a year. For 51 weeks, you do as you like. You don't change. You don't transform. You're a monster. You're not a monster. You're a hedonist. And then for 1 week, you're holy schmoly. You made your time there. You're never late. You've adjusted yourself because you've seen them. Of course you're wonderful. And then people say, wow, the Lama's so good to me. He's so nice. Oh. Very easy. But then you fool yourself. Why do you fool yourself? It's because you're chasing after me. And you're chasing after someone to reaffirm that you're good, although you need to transform. So it's very easy to chase after high-flying lamas with big names. There are more lamas that have no names, even in the past in Tibet, who can bring you to enlightenment, as opposed to lamas with big names. Why is that? What are you looking for? What do you want? What are you after? You abandon your own lama to chase after a lama with a big name, who have many centers, and that are famous. That shows you what kind of person you are. But they only come once a year. Exactly. So if your mother gave you up for adoption and came once a year to see you, would you respect her? Or would you respect the parent that stays with you in, out, and prepare your food and take you to school and drive you there and put up with your antics, and even if you're a brat, they take care of you? With a message for that. I'm going to help you. I know what you two are purifying. I know. You shouldn't have hurt her in a previous life. So, what happens is this. Of course, it's very easy to have faith in a Lama like that. Very easy. Because they never challenge you. You never see them. You never come across them. Once a year, once every 2 years, 3 years, it's easy. I had many offers in the past to create centers. You know why I didn't do it? Because I couldn't maintain it because I'm in India. I don't know how many times I could come back and forth. My mentality is different. I really want to maintain the center. Mine isn't start a center, come once a year and have them take care of their problems. No. That doesn't apply to all high lamas in the world. They have different motivations. But that's not how I operate. No. So when you see your lama once a year, once every 2 years, you'll make the time to see him. You'll think he's wonderful. You'll stick with him. You'll think he's the greatest in the world. Why is that? Because he never criticizes you. Why doesn't he ever criticize you? He doesn't have the time to get close to you to criticize you. He doesn't have the time for that. And on top of that, he doesn't have the time for you. He doesn't have the time for you. These lamas who go around the world doing this and this, they're very wonderful, they're very fabulous. Because why? They're planting seeds all over the world for the other lamas to take over and help. So if a lama comes to Malaysia and sits on a big throne, you meet them, blah, 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 oh, there is a lama. Oh, maybe I'll look for a guru, I'll look for a teacher. Then there's some schmuck hanging around Kuala Lumpur, you go look for him. Then because of the blessing of this lama, it leads you to look for something else. It could be that also. I'm not criticizing the lamas, no. Definitely not. Definitely not. So therefore, you think about it. You think about it with your wisdom, you think about it with your mind, with your intelligence, you think very carefully. Why we have or don't have faith in our lamas? Why do we have faith in lamas we meet rarely? Why do we have faith in big names? Why do we have confidence in people who do not criticize us? Because they don't challenge us. So you need to be true to yourself. I'm not impressed with big lamas and big names. I'm impressed by them. I'm not impressed enough to abandon my lama to go do this, this, no. And I don't encourage others. If you hardly meet them, and you rarely meet them, they never challenge you, that's it. If a lama tells you, stay away, you're not going to like it. Especially if you've never met this lama, you've not done anything, in the middle of the teaching, you're falling asleep, and the teacher says to you, stay away, stay away. So I'm not going back there. But if you've known a lama for many years, and he's taken care of you, he's been kind to you, he scolds you, stay away. You say, oh, there must be something else. For people who can think higher, it's like that. So it depends on what you want. Do you want superficial dharma, where you pray once a year and be holy shmoly and never have to expose yourself once a year? Or you want a real lama, a real spiritual practice and real challenges to you? You think about that. So people who lose faith in their lama, you lose your faith 100 times a month as opposed to a lama you never see. Why is that? Because lama challenges you. It's your negative mind and your negative thinking and your negative attitude that make you lose faith and confidence in your lama and think negative thoughts and spread negative rumors. And when people say negative things about lama, why does lama do this? Why does lama do that? Why does lama act like that? Why does lama say that? Your lama's so mean. Of course they just showed up for 1 week or 2 weeks. They haven't been watching your lama for 10, 20 years. They don't know what your lama's doing. So whatever your lama's doing, they're taking one small page out of a book and judging the whole book by one page. They're judging the book by one page, and then you go along with that. It shows how stupid you are. It shows you how ridiculous you are to believe these kind of people. That take one page out of the book and make a commentary on the book and they say, oh yeah, the book must be like that. It shows you how ridiculous you are. And then the lama has to step in and talk to you and explain and coddle you and explain himself and beg you and apologize. How kind the lama is. How kind the lama is to apologize to you, fold his hands to you, and kowtow to you, mentally kowtow to you, and explain things to you again and again and again because you never took charge of your mind. How kind the lama is. And for you to lose faith in a lama like that, or lose confidence or have doubt, it shows you how backward you are and how much you want special treatment. It's very simple. So when we meet lamas once in a blue moon, very easy to have faith. The people who run away from the lamas and criticize their lamas, those are the people who don't want to spiritually challenge themselves. They don't want to improve themselves. Why? They don't like the lama telling them what they should and should not do. And they make up things to cover that. So they stay away, they run away. Why do they stay and run away? Because they can't face themselves and they can't be better than what they are. And they don't want to be. They choose to be who they are. And that could be negative. So they don't want that challenge. So when a big lama comes, or even a lama that stays in the city, that they meet once a week or once every 2 weeks, and then, you know, they sit in the back of the room and no one criticizes them, they also will praise that lama. Why? That lama never gets to know them better. So if you meet your lama every week and you sit in the back, you never come close, you never do anything, you don't open your mouth, you stay quiet all the time, you pretend you're meditating. Of course no one's going to criticize you because you look so YSG. You're so good. So what's my point? My point is that even people who go for teachings every week somewhere to some lama, they never criticize them. They say, oh, my lama's so good, not like your lama, what? Why is that? Because they hide in the corner. They hide somewhere. They stay undercover. They don't get a chance. They don't get close enough to let the llama say anything to them. The kindest llama, that's why it says in. That's why it says in 50 verses of Guru Devotion and also the Wheel of Sharp Weapons by Dhamma Rakshita, that the llama who scolds you is like wrathful mantras purifying your negative karma. Why is that? Because that llama cares enough to tell you what's wrong and put his reputation on the line. So why does it purify your karma? Because he stops you from doing that further. He stops you. It's very easy to have faith in high-flying llamas and llamas you hardly see. And it's very easy to run around the world today and open up many centers. I promise you I can do it. I promise you. Look, if Charles Manson can have disciples, Rinji can have disciples. If the Sri Om guy in Japan with the sarin gas in Japan can have disciples, Rinji can have disciples too. I may be at the bottom of the barrel, but I'm not under the barrel, thank you. So these kind of people can have disciples, why not stupid Sarinji? Of course, Sarinji. I told you, I'm the bottom of the barrel, not under the barrel. That's not too bad. At least you came last, there's something in the barrel. What? So if you're not aware, you always fall asleep. You're always not alert, you don't push yourself. You create the karma to take rebirth as an animal. And the llama punishes you, screams at you, and tells you off and embarrasses you. He's avoiding you to take that rebirth. And if you avoid the llama and hide somewhere, you're going to take that rebirth. Why? Because the karma will follow you. The karma will follow you. So if you don't challenge and push yourself now, that's it.